championship point again for the fourth time. She serves down the middle. The forehand is really good again from Rybakina. She goes cross court, Rybakina. It's met by Sabalenka. Oh, that's too deep. That's too deep for Rybakina. And Arena Sabalenka collapses on Rod Laver Arena, shaking with the emotion of having broken through.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the AO Show for day 13 of the Australian Open. It is women's final night, and the champions continue to be crowned. Here's what's coming up. Sabalenka supreme.
I don't know how to explain. Not since it's like the best day of my life right now.
Bring it on. Tsitsipas ready to take on the best.
All you have to be prepared for is for hardship and for suffering when you're out there.
The Ice Brothers stay cool to win the doubles final.
We teamed up for this tournament. Geez, 2 weeks later, now we've got this trophy.
And we go behind the scenes with the Rod Laver Arena court announcer.
The kid who was going to do the coin toss hasn't turned up. Can you do it for us?
110%, yes!
That's all ahead on the AO Show. Arina Sabalenka is the Australian Open women's champion, coming from a set down to triumph over Elena Rybakina. Sabalenka made a shaky start, double faulting in the opening point. She managed to hold, but Rybakina drew first blood 2 games later.
Sabalenka to the tee and the forehand of Rybakina. The forehand is long from Sabalenka. No reaction, just bunts the ball behind her. And no reaction from Rybakina either, but that has got to feel good.
By the eighth game, the Belarusian had won just 2 points on return, but then managed to win 3 in a row with some timely winners to snatch back the break.
And Rybakina will serve into the body again. Sabalenka drives the forehand deep to the feet, then she slices the backhand on the run. Rybakina approaches behind the slice, and Sabalenka will nail the backhand down the line. Pumps a fist and roars in the direction of her camp. She has levelled up this opening set at 4-all.
It was only momentary jubilation, though, as Sabalenka's double-fault demons returned in the next game, and the match was back on the Kazakhs' terms.
Hopefully lands the second delivery. No, she's missed it. It's a double-fault, and she has gift-wrapped the break back to her opponent after fighting so hard to get back on level terms.
Rybakina held to love to close out the first set as the fifth seed netted ball after ball.
3 set points, there, and she only needs one. She does not break strides, Elena Rybakina, as she heads to the change of ends. That was an ice-cool finish.
The Kazakh looked like she was heading for an early night, up 3 break points on Sabalenka's serve in the opening game of the second set. But the Belarusian managed to claw her way back, employing her powerful forehand to force Rybakina errors.
Sabalenka serves, backhand from Rybakina. She really lent into that good depth from Sabalenka. Well defended by Rybakina. Rybakina then makes the forehand, going back centrally in the court, but that's brilliant from Sabalenka. Deep down into the forehand corner of Rybakina, and she could not deal with that. And facing a couple of break points, Arina Sabalenka does hold firm.
As the rallies extended, Sabalenka held her nerve to make inroads on her opponent's serve.
Sabalenka with a break point as she waits to receive this, goes with the backhand right back at Rybakina, who pushes a forehand well long beyond the baseline, and Arina Sabalenka gets her nose in front in the second set.
But Rybakina also brought pressure on return, leading to a 7-minute juice game at 3-1. Sabalenka had been leading the winner count all match, and it finally looked like it, smashing a cross-court winner and an ace to hold firm.
Sabalenka serves. Saves the ace. You heard it from Arena before I could open my mouth. She knew it was an ace straight away. And she holds off the challenge of Elena Rybakina.
The Belarusian battled to retain the break with 12 juice games in the second set. Rybakina pulled out an ace and a backhand winner to save 3 set points, but Sabalenka had her measure, firing down 2 consecutive aces to hold and claim the second set.
The crowd is just utterly entranced as Sabalenka serves an ace.
Wow.
Brilliantly. That's terrific stuff from Arina Sabalenka, and she shows her mettle, and we are going the distance in the women's singles final tonight.
As the match wore on, the contest intensified, but the decider remained on serve until the eighth game. Rybakina served a 193 km/h thunderbolt and saved 3 break points. But Sabalenka calmly dispatched an overhead smash and put a chink in the Kazakh's armour.
Can she do it now? Break point number 3.
Played nearly 6.5 minutes in this game. It's break point again for Arena. Serves onto the backhand of Sabalenka. It was on the half volley. Rybakina did really well, but she's stranded. Puts up a defensive ball. She's still in this. What's the smash like? Yes! She breaks serve. Arena Sabalenka slams it away. And is that the critical moment of this women's final?
The weight of the championship laid heavy on Sabalenka's serve. On her first championship point at 40-30, she double-faulted and screamed to the heavens. She smacked a winner to open up a second championship point, but an unforced error brought things back to deuce. Then a shallow cross-court forehand from Rybakina gave her a break point. It quickly evaporated with a netted forehand. Another unforced error from Sabalenka meant she had to smash a down-the-line winner to open up a fourth championship point.
Arina Sabalenka, championship point again for the fourth time. She serves down the middle. The forehand is really good again from Rybakina. She goes cross-court, Rybakina. It's met by Sabalenka. Oh, that's too deep. That's too deep from Rybakina. And Arina Sabalenka collapses on Rod Laver Arena, shaking with the emotion of having broken through all the serving woes. The anxiety is coming out of her right now. She is the Australian Open champion.
Sabalenka recording 17 aces and blasting 51 winners to win 4-6, 6-3, 6-4 in 2 hours and 28 minutes.
I don't know how to explain. Just the best, it's like the best day of my life right now. I mean, I always had this weird feeling that when people would come to me and ask for signature, I would think like, why are you asking for signature? I'm like, I'm just a player. I'm like nobody. I don't have a Grand Slam and all this stuff. And I just changed how I feel. Like, I start respect myself more, you know. I start to understand that actually I'm here because I work so hard and I'm actually a good player.
Ultimately, Rybakina was unable to find the solutions to the problems Sabalenka posed.
Not many girls can put me really under the pressure, and against her it's not easy because she has a great serve and she plays really aggressive. Her ball is coming very heavy, and there is maybe few girls who plays like this, and I just know that I have to serve well, and it's also pressure in the end, and as soon as I have an opportunity, take it. And today I had some opportunities, didn't take, so the match didn't go my way.
Well, while Rybakina was completing her press commitments, the new champion, Arina Sabalenka, was on a whirlwind media tour, completing all of her interviews, including with our own Josh Martin. Josh, what was the new champion like when you sat down with her?
Oh, well, she was over the moon. She was lugging her trophy around. She had a glass of sparkling in hand, and she was a complete contrast to the player that we saw depart Melbourne Park just 12 months ago.
I think because of the last year at the Australian Open, I became a better version of myself and a better player, and I think it's just two different players.
And newspapers are currently, they're printing the front page. The picture is you with the trophy. What do you think the headline should be?
Oh, I don't know. It's a tough question. What should I say? That's just crazy and unbelievable to understand that I'm a Grand Slam champion, and then that my picture will be there. And then if I would write a story about myself, that I would say that I'm a hard worker and and that she this girl been through so many tough moments, and then she fought through it, and she's a Grand Slam champion, which is unbelievable.
Those four championship points, take me through those thoughts and emotions.
I was super nervous. I was almost like shaking on the court, and I was just keep telling myself that that's okay. Nobody gonna give it easy for you, so you have to work for it. And that's it. I was still shaking after the match for another 10 minutes, I think.
Last year, you were a player that had 428 double faults. How does a player like that go to winning the first Grand Slam of the next calendar year?
Oh, that's pretty crazy. through hard work, you know.
It was a battle worthy of a championship match, and a deserving winner held the trophy aloft at the end of the day. Joining me at the round table today to dissect Sabalenka's win are commentator Jill Krabus and gig analyst Simon Ray. And Jill, it started with a double fault for Sabalenka and sort of heart-in-your-mouth moments at times throughout that match, but she was a deserving winner.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was a very high-quality match from both. We knew there weren't going to be a lot of long points. They both hit with such power and pace off the ground, so we knew there were going to be a lot of long rallies. It was going to come down to the motions. I was thinking, okay, we know Rybakina has that Wimbledon title, so she has a little bit more experience of coming through, but Sabalenka has been through so much. She's been to a few semifinals and Grand Slams. She showed in those semifinals in the past that she got overwhelmed by the pressure. She even admitted it. So today, that's why there were so many emotions at the end. She was able to get through, and it was just great to see. I think I know it was a little bit of a tense last game, but she held her nerve so well. I think what really impressed me was that she kept taking her time, and her team in the box was getting very animated. They were showing a lot of fire and passion, but she just kept so focused. She didn't look up a few times and just stayed on her side of the court, and I thought she did a phenomenal job mentally.
Wow, what a final. I thought from a level perspective in terms of ball striking and weapons and you know, the entertainment or the battle that was on display, I thought it was as good a final as I can recall seeing at the Australian Open. I thought it was an outstanding final, outstanding contest. And I think, as we mentioned last night, John, in previewing the match, I think it's kind of justice for Aryna Sabalenka and what a competitor and what a mentally tough, resilient, determined performance it's been, not just tonight, but if you put it in rewind and look back 12 months and then play that journey out across the corresponding 12-month period, and it comes to that kind of crowning glory moment tonight, and I think that's really, really richly deserved. And I think we've seen growth in spades from her in that department. So I have a brief look at the numbers from a first couple of sets perspective anyway. And set one, if you look at the serving numbers from Sabalenka's perspective, she's quite predictable in what happens. So she serves tee a lot of the time. She doesn't have a bad serving set by any stretch. She serves at 60%. She serves tee, and Rybakina starts to get a bit of a read, I think, on what's going on, which leads to some of the pressure she's able to create. When you flip that around, so when you have a look at Rybakina's serving numbers, in set one, 67% of her first serves are unreturned. Sabalenka, by contrast, she's 39%. It's not a bad serving set from Sabalenka, but there's a big contrast there. We knew going in tonight that second serve return one for both of these women was going to be a KPI. Really important. They both want to intimidate. They both want to come at their opponents. They both want to dictate in slightly different ways. Rybakina wants to get inside the baseline, take away time. Sabalenka is prepared to hold back just a little bit more to create a little more time to do damage with her forehand. Sabalenka in set one makes 25% of her returns in terms of second serve return one percentage, 25%. Rybakina, 43%. So those are the fine margins that you're playing with. And in a match that's not decided by very much, I think there's some really significant numbers across the first couple of sets.
Okay, and forehand heaviness, how much of a factor was that tonight?
Well, I'm pleased you asked about that, because in set two, things start to change. So the serve numbers come out in the wash a little bit more. It's a really good, solid serving set from both players. But the Sabalenka forehand starts to get to work. And, you know, we've been in awe of the ball striking of Rybakina across the course of the fortnight. But here comes the Sabalenka forehand. And in set two, it's almost building. In set three, it reaches the crescendo. It's the dominant shot on the court. And we've mentioned the mental toughness component as well. So moves past serving 16 double faults across the course of the night. Sabalenka is able to bury that, put it behind her and move on. And she starts to dominate the court with her forehand. So in set one, in terms of all the ground strokes available to her, she finds her forehand 44% of the time. In set two, she finds it 54% of the time. Again, think about fine margins. Yep. Not a lot in this. She's getting more forehands. Of those forehands in set one, Sabalenka's directing 55%, so more often than not, she's going at the Rybakina backhand corner. In set two, she changes, though. It's down to 36% at the Rybakina backhand corner. So therefore, it's 64% going at the Rybakina forehand corner. And that's the side that starts to break down a little bit. It's the Rybakina forehand across the course of the match that starts to cough up a few more errors, in my opinion anyway. And I think the numbers bear it out, but I'll check with the expert here.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, Rybakina look is solid on both sides, but it is the forehand that can cause her some trouble. And I think Sabalenka knew that before the match, and it's about making those small adjustments. But I think Sabalenka's strategy in the beginning was sometimes you have to go to the strength in order to open up the weakness. And so that might have been part of the strategy, is to try and get Rybakina out wide so she can pressure that forehand side. But obviously she got a little bit smarter, had more time. I think also the fact that she got more consistent, because she wasn't as consistent in the first set off the ground, and she got more consistent as the match went on, found that rhythm. So she actually was able to get behind the ball a little bit better and be able to redirect it to the forehand side. So that was a big difference.
You know, the serve and return stuff, it ends up being fairly level. I think the numbers come out in the wash there. But what starts to play out across the course of the match, so short rallies won, we spoke about it coming out in the wash, 75-76. So Rybakina 75, Sabalenka 76. That's shots that are ended within 4 points, within four shots, sorry. Medium rallies won, so 5 to 8 shots in the point. It's a smashing. It's one-way traffic for Sabalenka. It's the Sabalenka forehand getting it done. It's 26 to Sabalenka, 14 to Rybakina. And long rallies won, actually, when the point goes beyond that. So 9-plus shots, it's 7 apiece. So it really is, I think, the forehand factor from Sabalenka that tilts the scales in her favour and leads to, in my opinion, being the decisive factor to her holding up her maiden Grand Slam trophy.
Championship points. Hijikata will serve. Nice backhand. Put away by Kubler. No. Zielinski's there. Backhand volley again by Kubler. Well done, Nice at the net. He's going to put it away. No. Kubler goes over the top. Zielinski reaches. Kubler gets there. Nice putting, trying to put it away. Hijikata's fallen over. Zielinski's missed the ball. An unbelievable match point.
Aussie wildcards Rinki Hijikata and Jason Kubler have defied the odds to secure the men's doubles championship, replicating last year's feat by the Special Ks. The Ice Brothers broke Hugo Nice and Jan Zielinski to love in the third game of the match and held the margin to claim the first set. The second was a tighter affair, with no player budging on serve. In a frenzied tiebreak, the Aussies held a mini break, lost it, then swiftly regained it, all within the space of 5 points, putting themselves in reach of the championship at 5-4. They brought up match point, and then the most remarkable point of the match, a dramatic 13-shot rally going the way of Hijikata and Kubler.
You know, Rinki and I definitely didn't think this was happening 2 weeks ago, so a bit of a pleasant surprise, I should say. He was actually the reason we teamed up for this tournament. I wasn't sure if I was going to play or not, and then Rinki asked me, and then, yeah, I decided to play, and then... Geez, 2 weeks later, now we've got this trophy, so big thank you to Rinki.
Yeah, I couldn't have ever imagined this, but geez, am I glad that you said yes to playing with me a couple months ago. I don't know, that's just unreal.
Looking ahead now to day 14 and the men's final, Novak Djokovic on the verge of extending his record of currently 9 Australian Open titles. Standing in his way, Stefanos Tsitsipas. It's a 13th career meeting between the pair, Jill, but the last 9 have gone the way of the Serb.
Yeah. So Djokovic obviously is the favorite. I do think that Tsitsipas has the game to beat him. Now, I know this is Novak's court, pretty much, but there's always a first. And Djokovic is favored in this matchup, but I feel like Tsitsipas has been playing very, very well. It's the most, I would say, authoritative that I've seen him, like, in command out there. He's not getting those slight moments of emotions that overtake him sometimes. I think he's looked, I guess, similar to Sabalenka, who's really kind of honed in a little bit. And I feel that way about Tsitsipas as well. There were moments, against Khachanov where he was trying to close it out in the third set and couldn't, got a little tight. Understandably, that happens a lot. It can happen, of course. Yep. But I think it's going to be the same situation for him about being able to handle the moment, being able to break through, because I definitely feel like he has the game to beat Djokovic.
I think we're all thinking Djokovic goes in as the overwhelming favourite. So the conversation shifts really quickly to what does Tsitsipas need to do to give himself a chance? So I'll go through a few things that are kind of front of mind in me. He has to be able to go with Novak early. You know, the moment and the nerves and a Grand Slam final and the tension, and you've heard Jill talk about it tonight a lot with the women's final, and it's no different tomorrow night with the men's final. Handling the moment's massive. Once Novak gets to a fast start, so that notion of breaking early, we know he goes on to win 96% of his sets across the last couple of years. So that's trouble. If he's breaking you early, you're not chasing him down.
Yeah.
And then he gets a set in the bank, and he's even harder to track down in set 2, 3, 4 and beyond.
Reed, Tommy, Paul in the semifinal.
Yeah, exactly. Tsitsipas has got to be able to go with them early. In terms of the Tsitsipas service game, I think it's an underrated part of the Tsitsipas game. And when I'm having a look at the numbers or the data, if you like, because I'm trying to pick out patterns here with Tsitsipas, it's really hard to do. The variety on the Tsitsipas service game, no discernible pattern. So that's smart, right? That's someone that knows every opponent in the world's doing their homework and looking for a pattern. And do you like that one, or you prefer that one in this scoreline, or this is your favorite one on breakpoint down? There's no real pattern there. And he's got capability. He's got a bomb to all spots on the court. So he's got to have a great serving night out. I think he can be effective when he serves wide to Novak. So I think he's got to be prepared to serve wide, take Novak off the court. We know how well Novak returns. And then he's got to take risks. So he's got to take, I think, educated, calculated, considered risks. When he gets a look at a forehand on third ball, he's got to be prepared to really do some damage with it, is what I believe. And then I think there's the physical component. So Tsitsipas, there's not many that can go with Novak physically, but I think Tsitsipas is one. So if you have a look at the numbers so far from a physical perspective across the event, Tsitsipas is putting in more sprints per match than Novak, more high-intensity changes of direction than Novak. So he's got to do two things. He's got to pack his running shoes and be prepared to keep those numbers up there, Tsitsipas. And then he's got to make it physical for Novak as well. So he's got to bring his weapons to the table and ask some serious questions of Novak, not for three sets, but for 4 and 5. I think those are the things that I think of when I think of previewing tomorrow night's match.
Jill, what about in the psyche of these players? Novak has been solid as steel across the last 3 or 4 matches, but Tsitsipas has said he's up for the fight. He wants to play the best in the world.
Yeah, I think he's ready. And obviously they played each other at Roland Garros, and Tsitsipas had a match point in that final. So I think that goes to show you that he has the brains to do it. And I think he has the brains to do it here, even though Djokovic is great on this court, is great at the Australian Open. And I mean, Tsitsipas, he's going to be ready. He's going to know what he has to do. I mean, I agree with Simon. I also feel like you might see Tsitsipas trying to come forward a little bit more. I think you're right. He's going to be back on that backhand, and he's been hitting that return with some good depth, which is going to be important against Djokovic. But he's going to have to reposition himself, look to come forward, try and close some points off at the net, which he's been fantastic at. And he's been doing it more and more often this tournament, which is great to see because he has the capability of doing it. But I think he looks strong in the mind. He just has to know that it's going to be a long match. He has to be willing to stay in the fight for really long periods of time. But I think he's proven that he can do it with that Roland Garros final. Okay, it slipped away from him, but he got to the position, and that's the important. So he knows he can get there.
Well, thank you both for your insights. Let's now hear from the men's finalists. First, Tsitsipas, and then Novak Djokovic.
It's always a great feeling playing a Grand Slam final. It's, how would I describe it? Perhaps one of those golden moments in tennis where everyone is seeking for and looking for in their career. And I'm going all in. There's no player that frightens me. You know, for me, the best tennis that can be played by the opposition, by the other side of the court, it automatically helps me become better. So whether it's a, let's say, looser game or a more tight game, I think I'm going to learn a lot from both. And, you know, I actually like things that are actually tough in life. I don't like the easy stuff. You know, no one is working hard for the easy stuff. And all you have to be prepared for is for hardship and for suffering when you're out there.
I think it's good. I mean, he has to, you know, of course, believe in himself and trust his abilities that he can win against anybody. You know, in this case, against me, he's going to try, of course, you know, to bring his best tennis. And there's a lot on the line for both of us. But, you know, for him, it's first. Eventually, it's going to be his second Grand Slam final, going for his first Grand Slam title and going for number one in the world. So arguably the match of his life. So it's normal for me and to hear him speak about himself with confidence in an approach to this match. And I don't see anything wrong. You know, I've done that when Rafa and Roger were dominating the tennis and I was kind of making my breakthrough and saying that I can win against these guys, that I believe that I'm stronger, and there's nothing wrong in that. Every time now at this stage of my career, when I get to the Grand Slam finals, you know, it feels like, okay, I don't know how many more opportunities I'm going to have, so I might as well give it all, really. as I always do, but, you know, especially now, you know, being 35 is different, and you don't know how, as I said, how many more chances you're going to have. So, of course, I'm blessed to be in another finals. I've been playing some of the best tennis that I've played in the recent months. So, you know, I look forward to a great challenge.
If you've ever watched a match inside Rod Laver Arena, you may have heard this next voice bellowing from the stadium PA. Producer Josh Martin went courtside at RLA to see what it's like to be a court announcer at the Australian Open.
James Sherry, I'm the Knights court announcer at Rod Laver Arena.
So what does a day, well, I should say a night, look like for you as a court announcer?
So I get in here about 4:30 and then we get our final notes, do our prep, make sure that we've got all the scripting and the run sheet as it's supposed to unfold for the night. And, then as the doors open here on Rod Laver Arena, the people come in for the night session and I introduce them to the court, welcome them, introduce the players, introduce the show that's happening before the match, and then, yeah, give them, introduce the players onto the court and read out their bios so that everybody knows who's playing and what they've done in the past.
What do you think the best part of being a court announcer is?
Getting to watch the best tennis in the world and getting paid to do it. You know, like I get to sit courtside for most of the tournament. It gets a little, the real estate gets a little bit tighter for the finals, so I'm quite often backstage for that. But, you know, to be here and to be able to watch this tennis. I mean, you know, last year I was here when Ash Barty won her Australian Open, you know, to be part of that, to be working there for that. It's a great memory to have, you know.
This is the green room and this is Mel. She's my floor manager, so she's
hello.
She takes me through the night.
So today we have Darren Hayes performing, so we're going to do it as normal. After that, we'll
do back announce Darren Hayes, then yep. Housekeeping, and then into standby for walk-ons.
Correct.
So what's on your iPad here?
So my iPad, this is my script. So tonight we've got Darren Hayes performing. So I'll put his scripting in there. The main part of the job is to introduce the players onto court and to give them a bio to tell the crowd who they are, what they've done as they're warming up. So I research all of that during the day and so I pop that in there as well, ready to go. Oh, g'day. What was your name?
Sebastian.
Do you play tennis?
Yeah, I play tennis.
Are you any good?
Yeah, I'm very good. Number one.
Yeah, I'm very good. Yeah, you are. No, that's brilliant. Congratulations. We've got a bit of a problem. Oh. The kid who was going to do the coin toss hasn't turned up.
Does that mean?
Can you do it for us?
110%, yes!
There you go. This is the coin.
Oh, wow.
So that's the coin.
I wish I could
play. And you get to keep it, so... At this Australian Open, defeated Struff in straight sets. Davidovich Fokina in five. Brooksby in three. Batista Agut in five sets. And fellow countryman Ben Shelton in four sets in the quarterfinals here on Rod Laver Arena.
Please welcome to Rod Laver Arena, two-time French Open champion, three-time US Open champion, seven-time and current Wimbledon champion, nine-time Australian Open champion, world number four, Novak Djokovic.
And so the sun sets on day 13 with a new women's champion written into the record books. Will we see another new name on the men's trophy tomorrow, or will the Djokovic stranglehold continue? Join me again for day 14 and the men's championship decider. And don't forget, the AO season is underway in the world's most popular mobile tennis game, Tennis Clash. Download it today from the App Store. In the meantime, take this opportunity to subscribe and consider rating and reviewing so more fans can enjoy the AO show.